Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. Before we get started, we have some praise and worship here, and we're waiting on a very important person to come into the room. But right now, Jermaine Edwards.
Man that died for me, paid it all when he died on Calvary. Wonder why he would have really loved me. Not only that, he turned around and gave me mercy. I know everybody out there can testify to this. If it wasn't for the love, he wouldn't exist. I want to call his name every minute, every second, every hour. When you're weak and strong, sing Jesus, Jesus. Power in the name of
Jesus,
there's strength in the name of
Jesus,
there's healing in the name of
Jesus,
oh,
Jesus,
oh, oh.
Jesus,
there's joy in the name of
Jesus,
there's peace in the name of
Jesus,
there's love in the name of
Jesus.
What Jesus Christ he did for you and you, but there's a secret that I know my Father cannot do. He makes the flowers bloom, turn morning into noon. He gave our body nerves that we can feel its every move. I know my God's alive, look into the blue sky. It's just a miracle how we survive. But Lord, I know I'll serve you, Lord, till the day I die. Father God, I will forever lift your name on
high.
Power in the name of
Jesus.
Healing in the name of
Jesus.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
There's strength in the name of
Jesus.
There's joy in the name of
Jesus.
Hospital room.
Jesus.
Yeah, just said if you're not gonna make it, but if you just call the name
of
Jesus, he's the healer, he's the doctor,
Jesus.
He's the deliverer. Just
Jesus.
Call the name of
Jesus.
You remember when you have no money in the pocket and you call the name of
Jesus.
You believe by faith that he will provide because he's Jehovah
Jireh.
Anywhere you are right now, you could be driving in your car. Just know the name. In the name of Jesus,
Jesus.
Healing in the name of
Jesus,
there's power in the name of
Jesus,
there's joy in the name of
Jesus,
yeah. Believe in the name,
Jesus.
There's no other name that's high above all the names.
Right, that's Brother Jermaine Edwards from Island Records. My name is Apostle Emmett Owens. Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We now have Chaplain John Durden, brother who ordained me. His daughter, Apostle Candace Durden, is on our staff. And I met the brother years ago, but it's not about me right now. It's about the Lord using this brother. Without further ado, no interruptions. After the service so over, there will not be any questions and nor any answers at this particular time. Without any more interruptions, 1 hour and 40 minutes, The mic is now belongs to Captain John Durden.
Good evening, everyone. This is Brother John. For those of you who don't know me, I have served careers for, I guess, 40 years. For 30 years, I worked with the federal government as a human resources director. In other words, I recruited federal employees for 30 long years. And then as I was getting in the latter part of my federal employment, the Lord called me into the ministry. So in obedience to the Lord's calling, I enrolled in seminary, and I attended seminary during the evenings, and I spent 3 years there. And while I was there, I obtained two master's degrees. One was in Christian counseling, and the other one was in theology. And as a result of my theology degree, the Lord placed me into a hospital as a chaplain. And I was a head chaplain for 20 years. So I was a human resources director, recruiting employees for 30 years, and a human resources and a personnel, I just love personnel. I keep saying Chris, because that was my baby heart. But I never thought the Lord would call me into the ministry when I got into my 40s. But being obedient to the Lord, I finished seminary, and then as a consequence, I was a theologian then, and I served there for 20 years. So without further ado, I'd like to say that in addition to working as a personnel director, also work as at the hospitals and volunteering after I retired and those kinds of things. Now, tonight, it is my pleasure to share some of my knowledge and experience regarding the deliverance ministry. Now, I never thought God would have me doing this because, as I said, I came to the Lord in my latter part of my 30s, but from the time I was 30 to the time I was 40-something, I was a human resources director. I never thought at this latter life of my time I would be teaching about deliverance ministry, but I got to be obedient to God, and I found out it's a fantastic ministry. I remember all those years, all I heard was, we have his written word. We have his written word. In other words, tongue is not relevant. Ain't no such thing as demons. If there are demons, all the demons in hell, these kinds of things. And I was taught all that false doctrine all those years. And you know, thank the Lord, I was always tender to hearing the Lord. I always wanted to hear the Lord. And I was always sensitive to him. And finally, in answer to my prayer, he finally said, my son, that's an error. Tongue still relevant, the gifts of the Holy Spirit still relevant, and deliverance ministry. I said, amen. So I went to my two ministers. One was a doctor in at the church there. He was he had two doctor's degrees. He didn't believe in demons and deliverance ministry. I said, okay. And God said, I'll get back with him. I went to another pastor who I sat under. He was a Baptist minister, and he had his doctor's degrees. They all said the same thing. We have this written word. No such thing as tongues and all that stuff is dead. No such thing as demons. Are they all in prison and all these kinds of things? So God baptized me with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and everything else, and I went back to those ministers, and they cried a little hard. I said, I'm sorry, Brother John, but I'm a Methodist. I can't teach deliverance. I can't teach deliverance ministry and these kinds of things because I would lose my church. And then when I came back to Atlanta, I talked to my minister here, and he said the same thing. Well, you know, we are Baptists, we don't believe in that kind of stuff, okay? So I said, yeah, but the Lord finally got to me and said, you go ahead, my son. So what I want to share with you all today is that I'm going to give you some specific topics, what I want to share with you tonight. One, I want to share, I'm going to talk about. I'm hearing okay, Brother Emmett. So what I want to share with you tonight is several topics. One, I want to talk about the captain of God's army. That's Jesus. I got to talk about him first for a couple of minutes and how he developed the deliverance ministry, how he calls us into deliverance ministry. He wants all of us to share in the deliverance ministry. So I want to discuss with you the guidelines for dealing with demons. Another topic I'd like to share with you is delivering demons. Another one, detecting the presence of demons. I want to also discuss with you tonight about facts about angels, the good ones and the bad ones. I want to talk about the functions of the demons. What do they do and what do they don't do? I want to talk about how the angels execute God's will when he gives them instructions. Demons and their attributes, I want to discuss that too. You need to know how they like, how they interact, and these kinds of things, their personality styles and everything else. Also, I want to talk about Satan's pride when he says, I will, I will, I will. Remember those five wills. I want to discuss that. That's his pride. I want to also talk about demon organizations and their functions and how demons operate, how they gain access regarding our activities. Also want to talk about how you can get hit pretty hard by demons when you get yourself involved in all kinds of cults and these kinds of things. So I want to talk about the dangers of the cults, how Satan works against our minds, how our mind, and I don't know if you heard the slogan that our mind is the battlefield. That's where he works. Most of your 90% of your thoughts that come here are not necessarily your fleshy thoughts. It could be the manifestation of some demonic or Satan himself. Some evil spirit tell me, you ought to do this, you ought to do, don't do that, don't do this kind of a thing. And you think because they're in your head, you think those are your thoughts. 9 out of 10 times, especially if you're not saved and don't know the Lord, probably 80% of them thoughts that come in your head is demonic. All right, are you the fleshly? There's another thing I'd like to discuss with you, and let me slow down because I remember there's a lot of folks who'll be listening. I'm not fluent in English, like some Spanish and some Jewish and stuff like that who know it, but not quite well. And some say, please don't preach real fast, Brother John. So I'm going to try to slow down because can you imagine somebody, we were sitting and listening to a Spanish person, and we couldn't understand what they're saying. All right. So that's what I do. It's about like 15 different things, but they're short, that I like to discuss with you that will make you successful in the deliverance ministry. And I want to say this too. We need to be equipped with the knowledge to cast out demons. That's why I'm here this evening. God wants us to do this. And we also need to know and recognize what he does, how he does it, and everything else. So hopefully that this session will enable all of us, even myself included, because I'm still learning, to recognize the various kinds of demons and how they operate, how they operate. But before we do, I want to share a few scriptures that the Lord gave me. The first one is Matthew 10:1. Matthew 10:1 says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. The Lord also gave me another scripture to come from Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15. It says, and he said to them, give ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There's another scripture I like to share. It comes from Luke chapter 9, verse 12, and it says this, 12:12:12. And when the day began to wear away, they came, the 12, and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country, minds about, and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in the desert place. And also, one other verse in that man says, he called 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and diseases. Then the last one I'd like to share has come from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it reads as follows. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of sight. And the last one says this, Acts 2:4 reads this. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I hope you all recall, it was a scripture that came to my mind just now. It's scripture 1 John 3:8. What in the world is that? 1 John 3:8. Let me go to 1 John. That just came to my spirit. 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8 reads as follows. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he was our forerunner. He did deliverance more than anything else, especially if you read the Gospel of Mark. That's where Jesus did numerous revelations and casting out demons and so forth. So, another thing come to mind. I want you folks to know that to combat the works of the devil, Jesus gave a clear commission to his church. In other words, he said, hey, this is what I want you to do now. I'm about to go back home to my Father. This is what I want you to do. And he says, but the message went on to say, not only was he talking in this to his disciples, but it was a clear commission to, it said, his church. And it said to his disciples, he said, to his church. We're his church. And what he was saying is, it says that these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, and that's found in Mark 16:7. Now, to make the order clear, I want you to recognize that Jesus, after his ascension, folks, let me repeat that, Jesus, after his ascension, gave a postscript commission to the brother Apostle Paul. He says this to Brother Paul. He said, I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, let me break it down. I told you some of the things that I was going to talk about. And the first one I talked about first, we got to talk about the Lord, because, I mean, he's our captain. And he's over these demons. And he wants me to share this with you. First of all, I know you all know this, but I got to obey the Lord. With respect to him, he says, he is the creator of all things. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him what? All things consist. He also said, tell him, I am the Son of God. And I am declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, and by the resurrection, my resurrection from the dead. He also said, I am the Son Jesus. It's not only the Son of God, but I'm also God the Son. Yes, Lord. To let all the angels of God worship him. That's what the Hebrew 1:6 says. For it was written long ago, you shall worship the Lord your God and him. Only you shall serve. If angels were to worship Jesus and God was the only one to be worshipped, then Jesus must be God. Amen. Jesus is God in human form. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He is seen by angels. He preached to the Gentiles. And he also received glory. His mission on earth. I said, okay, Lord. All right, I got you. So Jesus came to earth to accomplish at least two specific goals. Two, fellow. It says, first, he was sent by the Father to pardon us from sin, as well as to restore us to fellowship with God. And also, he said he came to destroy what? The works of the devil. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We can talk about the ministry of the devil that falls under the ministry of deliverance. Another thing about it, he said, Jesus' role in spiritual warfare. Jesus ministers in two capacities that relate to the spiritual warfare of the believer. First, through him, we can claim authority over the enemy. He also said he gave us power and authority to do what? To overcome the world, to overcome the flesh, and to overcome the devil. And we find that in Luke 9, 1. And secondly, guess what? Jesus always interceding for us as our minister, as our God, as our Lord, as our priest and Father. Amen and amen. I just had to share that a little bit about it. Now, guidelines for dealing with demons. Guidelines for dealing with demons. That's the subject. The first one I said, the captain of God's army. That's about Jesus. Second topic I want to discuss is the guidelines for dealing with Jesus. Number one, pray for discernment. Because what? Demons must be dealt with only on the basis of what? Of Jesus' authority. Do not attempt deliverance outside of his guidance. Don't go and tell me, I think I'm going to do this, I don't think I'm going to do that. Don't work that way. When we're doing deliverance ministry, we always must be led by the Holy Spirit. It's not the flesh and it's not the mind. You don't do deliverance, tell me, I think I'm going to do this. And I got this doctor degree, slides out, let me do this. I've seen too many people who told me I got these doctor degrees and got whipped the devil almost. Okay? So we must pray for discernment. In other words, ask the Holy Spirit to tell us what to do, to guide us. We don't be guided by our own thoughts. We're supposed to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Pray for the sermon. Demons must be dealt with only on the basis of what? Of Jesus' authority. Not our authority, our fleshly, but Jesus' authority. And do not attempt deliverance outside of his guidance. You know, I used to go a lot with my daughter and my buddy I think I'm going to do this. Anyone? So, no, you don't deliver no demon back on you. I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this and I'm going to do that. No. When you do deliverance, you're supposed to be 100% led. 100% led by the Holy Spirit. Now, number two, with respect to guidelines for dealing with demons, recognize the symptoms. So, you got all kinds. You got folks that be growling and moaning and screaming, eyes rolling. Tearing their clothes off and speaking all kind of crazy stuff. So recognize the symptoms. Be slow to make judgments, okay? And I like that. Be slow to make judgments because we quickly say, I think he's doing this. I think this happened because I think. No, ain't no thinking. You check with the Holy Spirit. Do not make judgments. You let the Holy Spirit tell you what's going on and how to do it. I think I'm going to do this. No, every move you make should be directed by the Holy Spirit. And then you must recognize tactics. You'll learn that as you get into the ministry, how to deal with these demons. Guidelines for dealing, all the different types of tactics you can do. Okay? The first thing you need to do is always pray and make sure he ain't got no sin on you. Now, that's one ministry that you can't play with God. You can be a chaplain. You can be a minister. You can be a teacher. You can be a choir director. All of these things. But guess what? If you got some little sin, just lying, you won't hear the voice of God, and neither will you be able to have any demands or commands on any demon. They'll laugh at you and throw you sin right back in your face. So who are you talking to? You got my brother in you. I said, what do you mean you got my brother? I said, well, and you're homosexual or you're a liar or whatever, and that demon in you, that's my brother. He said, you're talking to a demon. And I'm a liar, and my twin brother's a liar, and my twin brother's in you. That's like, I mean, you're lying. That's like, I mean, you can't stop doing this. How come you can't stop that? You say, okay, I got you. So be sure. You do not make quick judgment. Do not deal with situations alone because you always, God always have me go in pairs. So if somebody said, would you please come? I think I got a demon. First of all, you got to believe this demon. You ain't nothing you're going to do. But always have someone with you to work with you. Because God can work through you, and God may work with that counterpart. Because when I first entered into the ministry, when I was going out with Brother Emmett, the Lord had to say, take Brother John with me, because God wanted me to learn the ministry. Because I was one of those old deacons, we have this written word. I mean, for 20 years in that Baptist church, you know, that Methodist church down in Savannah, we have this written word, ain't no such thing as tongues and all this. But I never accepted. I guess that was the Holy Spirit protecting me. And then when I came to Atlanta, I joined the Baptist church. And that Baptist preacher said, hey, we don't know demons and this and that and all these kinds of things. And we don't speak tongues here. We don't believe that, you know, kind of thing. That's pitiful. We have this written word. So if you have a written word, why don't you obey it? The word said, do not forbid speaking in tongues. I got to catch myself because I'm getting excited and I'm talking kind of fast. And I got to recognize that there are other people who don't speak English that fluent. When I speak fast, they can't understand hardly what I'm saying. Okay. We got to recognize their tactics. And for God's sake, when you're dealing with them, they're going to growl, do all kinds, they manifest to make you afraid. And once they know you're scared, they've got the vanity, so it's just turkey. I got him. Can't hardly talk, you know, kind of thing, but they look for fear. And keep what you discovered confidential. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. And when you do go to talk to somebody, help somebody come, always have somebody with you. But you better be sure. You say, you're going to have to be frank with me. If you're going with me to cast out this demon, are you going with me to check out and see if this person really got a demon or what really the person? You better make sure that person you're taking with you is not in sin. I'm serious, folks. It's like you can't hear God's voice. How can you hear God's voice? I've been trying to hear God so long. Well, you can't hear God's voice because there's something maybe he's dissatisfied with. And the most thing he's looking for is he wants you to for him to relate to you. You have to love him. That's what he's looking for. He don't want you to come to him so you can be a better minister, a better chaplain, or whatever. He don't want you to come to him and try to suck him out so you can get all these gifts so you can promote yourself in the church and get thousands of people. Oh, he can lay hands on people. He can do that. And he can do this and that. You never hear from him. And you never have a relationship with him because, first of all, he wants you to love him. He wants you to come to him not just because you fear him, but when you fear him, that's I'm speaking in the positive. You fear him like you fear your mom or your daddy. You just say, I know mama know if I do this. She'll beat the daylights on me. But you don't fear him in a respect of him killing you or her killing you. You fear him because you know you would hurt him or hurt her. That's what you mean by the fear of God, is to love him so much that you fear to do anything wrong because you don't want to hurt your master, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All right, another guideline for dealing with demons. I said, keep what you discover confidential. Well, continue to minister to individuals after demons have left because sometimes they try to come back. So you give them, see how they're doing. It's like a doctor. How you doing today, honey? You might give them a shot of medicine, whatever you need. And when you're sick, your mother come back in the room and say, honey, are you okay today? If you like going to school, or if you like going to work, always check on them. Do not be discouraged by an apparent failure. By that, sometimes when you're trying to cast out demons, sometimes it don't work out right then because that person may have all kinds of reasons why you can't cast that person out. First of all, the person might have a curse on them. They may have parents that believe in God. They worship in the devil and all this other kind of stuff, so they bring that curse on their child. And then you have them come out in the name of Jesus and these kinds of things. That demon just laughed at you. Hey, you have to break. And if you don't know what a curse is, then you'd be saying, come out all night, maybe for 60 years. You'd be on crutches. Because you have to be right with God. You got to have no sins on you. I'm not even a little bitty. Not even a little bitty sin kind of a thing. So, do not be discouraged by an apparent failure. I remember when I started, I just walked around watching my daughter, watching my brother Emmett, you know, and I'd be going, wow. And one thing I do know about them too, I say, they know the Lord, and they love the Lord more than anything else. I know that because they can say, come out, and, you know, now look at my daughter. She said, come out here. We know who you are. But you are a gun gangster. And them jokers fly out of that place. I said, I got a righteous daughter. I'm not bragging, but that's fact. I said, my daughter loves the Lord. She really loves the Lord, you know. And I'm so proud of her, you know, that she was always walking with the Lord all her life, never did anything to embarrass me or her mother or anything else. That gal loved the Lord. And you know what? She's so tight with the Lord that whenever she go with Brother Emmett to do an exorcist, these demons say, uh-oh, here come gun gangster. And sometimes they'll see it in front of another minister, mostly my minister. I want to speak to Captain John. I said, yeah, he said, who's gun gangster? Because every time we listen to him, some demon coming, it's gun gangster. Who's gun gangster? I said, that's my daughter. What you talking about, Joker? She's high ranked. She's apostle. I go, yeah. Man, ain't no woman, no apostle in the Bible. I said, there was no woman in the apostle would do that. So I'm going to get back to it. Do not be discouraged by an apparent failure. Do not be distracted by extreme fatigue while dealing with demons. You must be ready to stay with an extended period of time. You must remember your weapons are the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb, not your education, but your relationship with Jesus. Be on guard yourself for several days after you have been in a session. Be on guard for several days after you have been in a session. And watch for distraction. Keep in mind that demons are afraid of Christians who work with Jesus, okay? Now, detecting the presence of demons, that's another topic the Lord gave us. To overcome demons, we must be able to recognize their presence and tactics. The Holy Spirit has provided a special spiritual gift for this purpose, and it's called the gift called discerning of spirits. You find that in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter verse 10. Says, this gift of discerning of spirits enable each one of us as a believer to identify the presence of a demon. And this is necessary because identification is not always easy, y'all. At times, mental illness and demon possession have similar characteristics, okay? Now, another one. I want to share, I had said about angels, a little bit about angels. All right. One, I got Testament mentioned angels 108 times. In the New Testament, talk about angels 165 times. angels were created by God. Christ made made the angels a little bit higher than us. Angels do not reproduce, so there is a fixed number of angels. Hear what I say? There is a fixed number of angels, whatever that number is. Okay, and some angels are unholy. Those are unholy angels. And you say, well, what do those angels do? Well, they are called upon to worship God, and they are spiritual personalities. They are beings who minister or serve, and they are sent forth to minister to Christians. Now, you got angels that fall, you know, so those are your demons kind of a thing. But I want to go into some other things. But first, one thing about fallen angels, pride is the prime sin of the prince of evil. That's Satan, okay, full of pride. I will. Okay, and talk about those angels who rebelled against God. Well, the Bible says they fell from life of heaven, the angels which kept not their first state, but left their own habitation, and they are on their way to hell. And then here's another interesting fact. I said, now, what else could I share with them? I said, say, angels, come to mind, say, angels execute God's will. Listen at this. During my reading, I found out the following things about angels. Their nature is superior to human nature. You find that in Hebrews 2:7. I'm not going to read out all the scripture because I got a lot of material I want to get over. All right. Here is nature by their nature is superior to human nature. They have superhuman power and knowledge. They are created beings. They talk, they eat, they take charge in the affairs of people. They are not to be worshipped. They will be judged by the saints. They come in large companies, and some are good and some are bad. There are different kinds of angels. And there are seraphims, some are called cherubim, and some are archangels, these kinds of things. Some are just regular angels. And they are in ranks, just like you're in the military. You have rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And let's see, anything else I want to say about angels? Okay. Attributes of those angels. Listen at this. Before being cast out of heaven, demons had the same attributes as good angels. Now, listen to some of these attributes that I discovered going through my Bible. Some are angels are not fleshly beings, they are spirits. They can speak, they believe, they exercise their wills, they demonstrate intelligence, they have emotions, they recognize Jesus. They have supernatural strength. They have supernatural presence. They are eternal. And they have their own doctrines. You can imagine what kind of doctrine that is. And they are evil. They can tempt mankind to do whatever they want if the person don't have a relationship with the Lord. They can deceive. And come to deceive, don't we have written word here all the time? You have written word. And then you got all these different kinds of religion that don't believe in Jesus, as Jesus is our way of salvation, all kinds of things. So they are evil. They can tempt mankind. And, you know, temptation is all kinds of temptation. They can deceive us, and they can oppress us, and they can bring bondage or fear, all these kinds of things. Remember I was talking about Satan, and I says he had pride. Well, thank you, Lord. I got this spit out at me a few seconds ago. He said, I will ascend into the heavens. That means he desired to occupy God's place. Then he said to himself, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, the stars of God. And Satan not only wanted the place of God, but he also wanted to rule over the angelic host as well. That's what that's saying. There's another I will. I will sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. Well, what that mean? The mount of the congregation seemed to be where formal worship and praise in God took place. And Satan wanted to be glorified where? In God's place. So I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Clouds speak of glory, y'all. And then the fifth one, he said, I will be like the Most High. Satan did not say that he would be God himself, but that he would be like. He would be like him, y'all. Satan was after rulership and position that did not rightly belong to him. And what are his attributes? I said, okay, let me look that up. And boom, I found these. See, God and Satan is a God. Although Satan is a spirit, he is a real being with a personality and attributes. The Bible teaches that he is, as for all of folks, he's intelligent, he's emotional, he's self-willed, he's proud, he's powerful, he's very deceitful, He's fierce and cruel and very, very deceptive. Very deceptive. Okay? All right. Now, what else I want to talk about? Oh, I want to talk about the organizations of demons. They're going to be brief, y'all. The organization of demons, and it's this. There are principalities. Some are called powers. Some are rulers of the darkness. Some are called spiritual hosts of weaknesses. Those are demons. Under the angel column, I found there are some called thrones, some called dominions, some called principalities, and some powers. Now, demons, now, I really love this. I think I must have looked at the scripture a million times. I really love it. It's talking about what kind of function those demons perform. And so I highlighted, I go, demons serve different functions. One, evil spirits, that's one kind, they do what? They influence immoral acts. Evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. I'm talking about demons and their different functions. The next type is unclean spirit. They induce unclean thoughts. Now, I don't have to tell you what unclean thoughts are. Okay. Then another one. This another function. Spirits of infirmity. They afflict the body. And you know there are all kinds of things going on in the hospitals and everything else. Okay. And I've seen that a million times when I was 27 years I was a chaplain in the hospital. They are also deceiving spirits. We have this written word. No such thing as demons. And then some minister told me that I don't believe in Jesus being he's just another man, you know, these kinds of things. So deceiving spirits, they produce false doctrines. False. Some don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit is it. It's not a him kind of a thing. They produce false doctrines. They have all kinds of false cults. They have false teachers. That's how he can get to the Christian church. When you go to seminary, you might find a whole bunch of professors that don't even know the word of God. Not that much every kind of thing, because I remember, I don't want to detour, I just want to give this example. When I went there my first year, the pastor said, all right, let's pray. John, you pray today. Because all the ministers had to pray, he had to turn and pray. And I go, our Father which art in heaven. He say, hold up. We don't say, our Father which art in heaven. And he'll say, what did you say? We say, our Father, mother. I said, what do you mean that? Well, you know, man always been command over things. And we believe that they just want to say, Father, because that just make us more over women. I says, he's a man, you know. He said, how you figure that? I said, well, you know, you're supposed to have me a doctor. I tell you this. I said, when they asked Jesus to teach him how to pray, what did he say? Did he say, our Father, our mother? He goes, I say, place closed. I said, don't you think if anybody know what God is, he would know? He shut up. All right. Now, satanic attacks against Christians. Now, dig this word, some of these things they're doing. I got demons launch attacks in various ways in carrying out Satan's plan. Listen up tight now. They can quote scriptures in the wrong way. Like what Brother M and I always get complaints about is, y'all are crazy. Tongues has ceased. Don't you read the Bible? Tongue has ceased. And I said, you're in the wrong tense, brother. He said, what do you mean? I said, seems like so you don't know the difference between past tense, present tense, and future tense. He said, what are you talking about? I said, look at the scripture. And the thing said, tongues has, and when Bible says tongue has ceased or tongue shall cease. I said, those are future tense. And it said has. Y'all just jump and say has. Y'all got that from the devil. Those thoughts coming to your head. Oh, my God. So that's why they say tongues have ceased. They always say that. And I say, look at the Bible. Look at the scripture. It says tongues will. Will is present tense. And the next verse say, when that which is perfect comes, that's when we, because we're going to need prophecy. We're going to need knowledge. He said, why do you want to pick on tongues all the time? It got prophecy, too, and got tongues and these kinds of things. Okay? All right. I said, they afflict the body. They tempt with hypocrisy and lying. They lie to us with these thoughts. Just because you think a thought comes to your head, you think that's you. But not necessarily. That the mind is the battlefield of the devil. All right, here's another thing that they do. They can tempt us with pride. Tell them, I want to be like her and all this kind of stuff. So you do all kinds of things so you can be famous and popular like that individual. And they can produce counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders. You got to make sure that when a person calls a miracle, see, I'm from God, you kind of thing. You got to recognize that the devil could be under that. Okay, I want to talk about right quick, give you a brief summary of some of these devils. You got one called principalities. Now, principalities derive their power directly from Satan and are the highest ranking entities in Satan's army. Then you have powers. That's another type. The Greek word for power means speaks of delegated authority. They are demonic spirits, what? That derive their authority strictly from principalities. You have rulers of the darkness of the world. You have spiritual wickedness in places. You have devils and demons. And then you have spirits of the underworld. Then you have spirit birds. Then you have spirit horses and horsemen. You have, now, the one I want to focus in on, familiar spirits. These are the familiar spirits that really, really can trick you because they know everything about you. See, familiar spirits are demonic agents whose main assignments are to become well acquainted with a person, a group of persons. In other words, they learn what you like, what you don't like, what you dislike, they take it to Satan, and that temptation hits you, the one that you can't say no to and everything else, because that familiar spirit know what you like and know what you don't like. And then you find yourself, I don't know why I keep going back. I can't stop smoking this cigarette. I don't know why. And I don't know why I can't stop seeing this person and these kinds of things, because what? That demon know what you like and what you don't like. A familiar spirit also, what? Knows your hot spots. They know which buttons to push. They know your weaknesses and your strengths, likes and dislikes, passions and your pet peeves, what gets you going, what upsets you, what distracts you, your desires and your ambitions and everything else. And they take it back and say, guess what, boss? He or she like this and he or she don't like this. And we can separate from God because we can all just tempt her or tempt him with this, you know, kinds of things. So that's what those familiar spirits are. Familiar spirits act as what? Informers to a set of demons. They go to this group and say, hey, guys, her or him kind of a thing. Like to do this. So y'all go check on and get them to backslide. Hey, no problem. You sure they like that? And then they would tempt that person what they already know from that familiar spirit had revealed to them about that person. I'm not going to go through all that. Then you have unclean spirits. And these, then you have evil spirits. Unclean spirits. They are unclean because they, just nasty, lewd, promiscuous. They are immoral. They do a lot of immoral activities against things, these kinds of things. And you have seducing spirits, seducing. Satan commands seducing spirits, which are responsible for what? For attracting and drawing you into a wrong or foolish course of action. That's what seducing spirits are. Then you have, I want to talk about just three of the spirits. One is called the spirit of infirmity. And these are spirits that would do what? That afflicts the bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. These are called spirits of infirmity. And then you have seducing spirits. And these spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to do what? To believe doctrinal lies. We have a spirit of and there's no such thing as tongue cease, and be condemned to eternal punishment. Let me say that again. These spirits, seducing spirits, afflicts the spirit of man, seducing him to believe doctrinal lies and be condemned to eternal punishment. They are spirits of false doctrines, spirits of cults, spirits of false Christ, and false teachers. And guess what? Seducing spirits are very, very receptive, folks. They actually work miracles that lead some to believe that they are of God. And seducing spirits include these kinds, spirits of divinations, which is mentioned, and let's see, I think it was Acts chapter 16. Some spirits of divination are familiar spirits, meaning they know everything about you. And they operate in fortune tellers. Don't go to fortune tellers and witches and palm. And I'm going back to him. He can tell me this about myself. And he got to be a man of God. He told me this and he told me that. He told me that. There's two ways a person can tell you something, either through the devil or word of knowledge that the Lord gave, the Holy Spirit gave that person, that minister. So you have seducing spirits that have you doing all kinds of things you don't want to do. Such spirits of divinations and some of familiar spirits, and they operate in fortune tellers, they operate in witches, they operate in palms, crystal balls, and tea leaf readers. Okay? And then you have unclean spirits. It's the last kind of type of spirit I want to talk about. There's numerous of them, but I'm finished talking about the type of spirits. Unclean spirits. These demonic powers afflict the soulish nature of man. They are responsible for unclean spirits, y'all. They are responsible for immoral acts, unclean thoughts, temptations, and other strategies of Satan used to bind men and women. When Satan controls individuals with unclean spirits, he can also operate in homes, he can operate in churches, and he can entice nations as these groups are composed of individuals. Let me repeat that. Unclean spirits afflict the soulish nature of man. They are responsible for immoral acts. They are responsible for unclean thoughts, as well as temptations and other strategies Satan used to bind us as God's children. And then how demons came, this is another subtopic I want to talk about. I got about like four more topics and I'll be through. How demons gain control. Demons can control in several ways. One, through generation. Demons may oppress or possess a person because of previous possessions or oppressions of the parents. In other words, if mom and dad don't believe in God and they're sinners and they're hypocrites and doing everything but doing what the Bible says not to do, they can put a curse on their child and don't even know it. And that child can have a curse on their life for 4 to 10 generations, depending on what it is. You know what I'm saying? Through generation. Sometimes a person, I can't keep a job. All this happened to me. I'm always sick, and I'm always this, and I'm always that, all negative. It's because it could be a generational curse that person having, and because mommy or daddy is doing something they ain't got no business doing. You know, from my experience, we find out they'd be doing all kinds of things. Most of them say, man, I don't believe in that mess. Some of them never been to church a day of their life. Okay. Now, how demons gain control in the person? And I'm talking about being controlled with you, and you come to, they're using you to do whatever they want to do. The second way they gain control is through the mind. And I know you heard the word, the slogan, the mind, through the mind. The mind is one of the major battlefields of Satan. And he can control your thoughts, y'all. If you let him, he will eventually control your actions. And I can shortcut that by saying, you got to remember, every thought that comes into your mind is not necessarily yours. It can be a thought influenced by the world, thought influenced by the devil. It can be thoughts from the way you were raised and everything else. And I want you to know that just because you're thinking it, that don't necessarily mean it's you. And repeat that, because you're thinking it, that don't really mean you. I thought I'd do this or do that. I do them and do those kinds of things. And I think I will. Yeah. And she likes you. Go ahead. She likes you. Go ahead and talk to him. That's not necessarily mean you, you know, kind of thing. And especially how you can tell if whatever that thought is violates the Ten Commandments, then you know it ain't you. You're okay. I don't need to break that down for you. But when you get thoughts that you know is contrary to the Word of God, then you know them are not your thoughts. Well, it could be. It could be fleshly thoughts. But then you got devilish thoughts too. Okay. How the devil can gain control over you too? I got through sinful actions. The sinful thoughts are soon fulfilled by sinful action. You sort of thinking and lusting in your mind, everything else before you know it. You're trying to bring it to reality, whatever you're thinking. Okay? Then you got through desire. Some people ask Satan for demonic power to enable them to perform supernatural acts. I remember back in my days, a lot of those movie stars and everything else used to wish the devil, you know, kind of a thing. So, and some of them just give their life over to the law, to the devil. Okay? Now, how demons gain access? I'm coming into a close. Number one, I made a list. The following partial list describes every point the enemy used to subdue people. Use involving in mind control teaching. You can participate in the cults like the Ouija boards and stuff like that. Leave that junk alone because you open yourself up to demonic possession. Environmental influence, those are sinful activities. Family influence generation, like we don't believe in God, and saying we don't do this and we don't do that, and we don't go to church anymore. So that's how demon can gain access into you. Messing with Ouija boards. Environmental influence, hanging around people, smoke dope and drugs and all that stuff. But, you know, you got a drug demon and you don't know and wonder why you can't stop. Family influence, like I say, depending on what kind of family you were raised up in. Sinful habits, something you realize you just can't stop doing, that gives you a clue that you demon against. I don't know why I can't stop. I tried 20 times. Then you need to go see a deliverance minister because you could perhaps possess with a demon. And then another means of knowing you got a devil gain access into you, emotional violation. You're always full of hatred. You're always cussing folks out. And then physical violation. You raping somebody or you performing incest, having a relationship with your own family members. And then dealing with the cult. Some people deal with prognostication, which means predicting or doing fortune telling stuff. Some people get into astrology, consulting stars and horoscopes. And that can cause demonic possessions. Neocomancy, that's culting with the spirits of the dead, consulting with the spirits of the dead. Some people try to do that. I'm talking to my grandmama, not knowing that you're talking to a demon. But that my grandma told me everything about myself, of course, because you're dealing with a demon that is a familiar spirit that knows everything about you. And then some people attend seances. You can open yourself up to the devil like that. Seances mean anybody depending on a medium, going to the medium. So tell me about myself. Tell me what I should do tomorrow. Danger of the cow. Any activity to gain supernatural knowledge. Some people sell their souls to the devil, get popular. They know this and they know these kinds of things. Then dealing with Ouija boards. Ouija boards can cause demon possession. Consulting crystals, reading tarot cards, and bones. Okay? And then what the main thing he does, the main thing, and this is my last one I want to share with you. I said, wow, I didn't know that. So after studying, reading all day, I came up with this. Satan can work against the mind. That's the primary. You might hear the slogan, the mind is the battlefield. The mind is the battlefield. Well, Satan works against the mind. Satan works against the mind to do the following, folks. Cause you to question the authority of God. That's one. Number two, cause us to use the flesh the wrong way. Number three, cause us to develop wrong motives. Four, cause strong attitudes. Five, and cause us to rebel against whatever we don't like. Cause us to bring hurtful accusations against somebody to split up. And then what else to do? How do you work against your mind? They cause sexual impurity. Have you thinking sexual things? They cause your mind to be confused. Sometimes it's not natural that you're confused by the situation. It's because you have demonic interference. You compromise ethics and morality. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with a man going to bed with another man or woman going out. I don't see nothing wrong with that. See, so compromise ethics and morality. And the Bible says that's an abomination. God burned down the city because these folks were having same-sex relations. They burned the whole city down. Compromise ethics and morality. Bring a wrong mental focus. So I don't think. I think you watch your thoughts because that can be influenced by a demon. And then another way how they can get into your mind, they cause you to think about old memories. I remember he did this to me. I remember they did this to me and so forth. Memories that need to be forgotten, you know. But she made a fool out of me. He did this to me. She did this to me. Forget it. That's the devil just bringing back those memories that keep you in that state of mind. He controls your thinking. He makes you become impatient. And that's about it with respect to what they can do. And then finally, I want to say this. The ministry of deliverance. When you are ready to minister deliverance, begin with worship and praise. These are just some steps, okay? But don't do it unless you have somebody who have experience with it. Don't go somebody out and tell them, I'm going to cast you out of demons, you know, because I've heard this and I've been reading this. Always have something with you. This is a recommendation. They told me this. Number one, when you are ready to minister deliverance, begin with worship and praise. Number two, create an environment of faith. Number three, pray. Ask for wisdom and discernment before you begin to minister deliverance. During prayer, God may be. Now, listen to this. Pray. I'm going to tell you what happened while you're praying. Pray. Ask for wisdom and discernment before you begin to minister deliverance. During the prayer, God may, here we go. During prayer, God may reveal a word of knowledge. We'll let you know something personal about that situation. He'll give you a scripture verse that relates to that situation. He gives you a vision where you can see spiritually what's going on. He gives you a word of faith where you can step out and tell that person such a thing, and that person can be healed by the words that you give that person from the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then you need a special anointing. Okay, let me back up. You need, before you jump in there and tell them to come out in the name of Jesus, God may reveal, because you always got to depend on the Holy Spirit. When I say God, you know, God is the Holy Spirit too. So the Holy Spirit may reveal a word of knowledge, a scripture verse, a vision, words of faith, a spiritual anointing. And I want you to know that you always conduct a brief interview with the person so you can see what the problem is. You can't kind of figure out what the situation is, but always check with the Holy Spirit because you can misjudge that person, see? And then they have four types of problems when you get ready to go to a person to counsel them or deliver them. The books say determine the specific problems. Determine if the problem is in these following areas now, okay? It may be a spiritual problem. Don't be trying to deal with a physical problem when it's actually a spiritual problem. Determine if the problem is in the spiritual realm, whether it's physical realm, When I say spiritual realm, that's sin. When I say physical realm, that means bodily sickness, all kinds of sickness. I don't know why I'm always getting sick and all that person. That's because that person got a demon of sickness in them. Mental realm, mind, because you got to remember, like I said, the mind is a battlefield where dear. Because every time you think something, you make sure you check that thought out. Just don't do it because it sounds good to your mind, kind of thing. It could be a double trick in you. And then you got the emotional realm. You deal with making you be afraid, make you anger, make you bitter, resentment. These are thoughts that can change your mood, make you resent things, guilt, and you feel failure. You feel jealous. You feel selfish. You feel frustrated and all these kind of things. And then you have unforgiveness towards somebody. That's not necessarily me, that's you. That can be a demonic spirit that influenced you to do these things. Like I say, 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 4 types of problems that a person can have. One is the spiritual realm. That means you're sinning and your conscience bothering you and the devil teasing you. Number 2, physical realm. That means always sick. And you can understand, mom always well, how come you always, and brothers and sisters, nothing wrong. Well, I'm always the one that gets sick of these kinds of things. Spiritual realm, the physical realm is body sickness. The mental realm, that's the mind. You get all these crazy thoughts and everything. Don't forget what I told you. Just because you're thinking that doesn't necessarily, that's me and you. That could be demonic. Okay? Emotional realm. So, another thing you need to do when you're ministering to a person who's possessed, you need to pray the prayer of deliverance. You got to bind the enemy, exercise their power over that person, expel the demon and evil spirit, forbid the demons to enter the person, and do not spend time talking with demons. Should they manifest through spoken word, they are lying spirits. In other words, and I know some people, that demon had me talking all day, about an hour. No. Do not spend time talking with demons. Should they manifest through spoken words? Because sometimes they do. They're a bunch of lying spirits, and whatever they say is not a bunch of lies. And praise God for the answer, okay? And that's all I need to say. Usually when I pray, when you pray, you pray a prayer like, by the authority of Jesus Christ, you ask the Lord, by the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, to tell you what to say while you're praying because you don't know exactly what it is. The Holy Spirit will pray, give you a prayer that would be in concert with what the person promised. So when you pray for revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Be open to listen to the Holy Spirit. And when you get ready to start up and pray, get ready to do a deliverance, you say something like, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I bind you, Satan, and your demons. See? Always start over there. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I bind you, Satan, and all your demonic spirits. And binding, and that's what you do. And say whatever else the Holy Spirit will lead you to do. I want to thank my listeners tonight. I want to pray. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I really love you, Lord. I love the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving me these words for my presentation this evening, Father God, because you are my master, you are my teacher, you are my Lord, you are my deliverer. And I thank you, Lord. I never thought I'd be doing something like this at my age. I'm an old man now, and I'm talking about deliverance ministry. You know, you think the young kids are supposed to do that, but God wants us all to know about deliverance, regardless of what our ages are. And I pray that you will be kept by the Lord, and may he bless and keep you in Jesus' name. Good night, everybody. I'm going to sign on out. My time has run out. God bless every one of you. Good night.
Once they were inside the Capitol building, inside the U.S. Capitol complex is a big, labyrinth-like, confusing, multi-layered thing. I have been inside the Capitol building a few dozen times. I have never not been there.
Thank you.